You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, welcome to summertime, and we are kicking off a new book. We're going to be in the book of Ruth. If you've got your Bible, I want you to turn there to the book of Ruth. It's in kind of the beginning parts of the Old Testament. We've had an awesome time going through James, an incredible Memorial Day weekend as well, which was great. And then now we're jumping into the book of Ruth. So Sienna and Cypress and downtown, Digital Family, Loop Campus as well. We're all jumping in there. The book of Ruth is an amazing, amazing book. It's an incredible journey. It's a love story. We've been looking through James, which is just, here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to do. And now we're going to look at a narrative. Basically, most of Ruth is about conversations and all these different conversations that are happening. The book of Ruth is a picture of godly manhood and womanhood. And we need to see that in our world today. We need to see a picture of God's love, God's care, God's provision. Ruth is an interesting book. Do you know it's the only book in your Old Testament that is not named after a Jewish person? It's the only Gentile name. So you look at all the minor prophets, those are all Jewish names. You look at Jeremiah, you look at Ezekiel, you look at all of those, and if you've got a name in the Old Testament, Ruth is the only one that is a non-Jewish name. And she is actually going to be a part of the lineage of Jesus. We're looking here at the great grandmother of King David, the king of Israel. This is who Ruth is. So it's an amazing, amazing journey. And we're going to see here as we look, we're going to see that the Lord provides. There's a place my wife and I go to see her family, and we're driving down the road, and there's a church. It's a small little church, but they've got a cross that is absolutely huge. This, you just see it coming down the road. Now, we have it all of our campuses. We have a cross as well. Our crosses are not even close to as big as this, okay? Our buildings are bigger. Our cross is smaller. This is a huge mammoth cross, and right in the middle of it, it says, the Lord will provide. And I love passing that church, just seeing that the Lord will provide. So I want you to say that with me as we jump into the book of Ruth. All campuses, we're going to say on the count of three, the Lord will provide. One, two, three. The Lord will provide. One more time. The Lord will provide. That's what we're going to see in the book of Ruth. We're going to see God's provision, even though they've walked away from God in many ways. We're going to see God's provision, and we're going to see that in a very distinct way in the book of Ruth. Now, we've also, in the book of Ruth, it's a ladies' book. We put our design. If you look at your listening guide, you've got all sorts of flowers at the top. I hope you'll take some notes. And so we're going to have a different group of flowers or a little bouquet for me each time to symbolize something. I didn't know this, but our creative team put this together. And they said, Pastor, did you know? And I said, I did not know. And they said this, that flowers have different symbolic meanings to them. And so violets symbolize faithfulness and humility. And what we're going to see in chapter one is faithfulness and humility. So they asked me if I knew that. I said, no, I just walk into Kroger and grab some if I'm in trouble. That's what I do. But faithfulness and humility is what these violets symbolize. I love that thought. So as you see this, see the faithfulness of God, as we see this in the book of Ruth, we're going to see the faithfulness of Ruth. We're going to see the humility of Ruth. We're going to see the faithfulness of God. Look, if you will, into Ruth chapter one. We're going to hit the whole chapter, but we're going to hit it in some chunks. Some are going to be big chunks. Some are going to be little chunks. This is going to be a little chunk. Two verses of scripture. I'm going to explain to you these two verses to get us set so that we can jump into the rest of the chapter. Here we go. Chapter 1 of Ruth, verse 1 and 2. During the time of the judges, underline the judges in your Bible, there was a famine in the land. A man left Bethlehem. You ever heard of Bethlehem? In Judah, with his wife and two sons, to stay in the territory of Moab for a while. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi. The names of their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Epaphrodites that from Bethlehem in Judah. They entered the fields of Moab and they settled there. Let's take just a stop right there and let me frame this for you. Let me give you your first point though. My plans fail, his plans don't. My plans and your plans, they will fail, right? If we're just going to plan our own way, then we're going to end up walking in failure. But if we can get God's plan, here's something you need to learn. Write it down in your heart. God's ideas always have God's power. Your ideas and my ideas don't always have God's power. So we want to get God's idea. We want to get God's plan. We want to get God's way of doing. Well, how do we know what God's plan is? Well, he's given us this amazing book, and that's why we study it, and that's why we learn it. And so here we have God's plans don't fail. Our plans don't. Now, the good news is God's sovereign. God's gracious. God can put us on the right track. But let me show you how they made their own plans. In this passage of scripture, it says it was during the time of Judges. And what is the time of Judges? If you were to look just one book back, turn a couple pages back in your Bible, you'll see a whole book called Judges. It's in the time in which that book was written. In the time of Judges, Ruth took place. So here's when the time of Judges was. The time of Judges is when Joshua and they had conquered the land and they had come into the promised land and they didn't have a king yet. They just had a bunch of tribal judges. And there was a lot of conflict that was happening. It was a time filled with violence, with idolatry, with moral depravity, and with civil war within Israel. Here's the most famous verse in the book of Judges. It happens a lot of times in the book of Judges. Judges 21, verse 25. There was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. See, also America. And everyone does what is right in their own eyes because there's no king, meaning not king like King of England, king being God, in God we trust. And so everyone just does what is right in their own eyes. Well, what happens when everyone does what is just right in their own eyes? You end up with chaos. You end up, unfortunately, with sin, with violence. And so this is in the time of Judges. There's all of these things happening. And as God would do often in the Old Testament, there's then a time of famine. When the people of Israel were not obedient to God, God used times of famine oftentimes to get their attention back. An agrarian society, and when you don't have food, you begin to pray, right? And so here they have this time that they are in this moment that it's a time of judges. So Joshua takes them into the promised land. Judges and Ruth ends up with a bunch of chaos. Then you end up in 1 Samuel, the next book coming, chapter 16, and David is chosen out of Jesse's sons. Then you have 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, because now you have kings, and then Chronicles talking about all the things they did. That's how your Bible works in that little section. So here we have this man named Elimelech. Elimelech. His name means my God is king. I mean, what a cool name, right? I didn't go to grade school with anybody named Elimelech. And if we would have, I don't know what we would call him, Lemmy, I guess. I don't know what we would call him. But my God is king is a super cool name. But Elimelech, it's got the name, but he doesn't have the heart. So what happens is his name means God is king. But here's what one commentator said. Elimelech, whose name means my God is king, doesn't act as if his God is king. Instead, he turns his back on the Lord, and this little family turn their backs on the Lord, and they go to live in Moab. So here's this guy, God is my king. A famine has come because it's in the time of Judges. And he gets this time of Judges. He goes, there's famine. Family, we're going to Moab. We're going to leave the promised land. Now, Moab is the enemies of God. The Moabites were started by Lot's daughters, got him drunk. They were fearful that society wouldn't go on. And out of an incestual relationship, Lot's daughters get him drunk, have incest with him, and the firstborn is named Moab. And so the Moabites have started in sin, have started in incest, have started in drunkenness, have started in disobedience. They worship a false god, Chemosh, which is similar to Baal. And here they are as longtime enemies of Israel. Moses said, can we cross through your land? The king of Moab said, nope. Made them go around. They ended up paying for it in a battle. But here they have, this is the enemies of God. So I'm putting this whole thing together. Elimelech, God is my king. But I'm fearful I'm going to leave the promised land. Instead of praying and repenting, I'm going to turn and I'm going to take my family, and we'll be more comfortable with the enemies of God than we will be with the people of God. You see this? And that's a problem. Our plans fail. God's plans, they go forward in truth, and they don't fail. Proverbs 19, verse 21 says, many are the plans of a person's heart, but the Lord's purpose is what prevails. So I've got good news, though. Our decisions can be redeemed when we follow him, and God is gracious and he brings us back. But what we're going to see here is we're going to see that one famine is going to result in three funerals. And what happens is oftentimes we can jump out of the frying pan and into the fire. And we can end up making one bad decision and turning, and it ends up creating more bad decisions, more places that we're in trouble. And so we need to trust in the faithfulness of God, that God's faithfulness, that he is able to have us come through in the right way. I got to go to a conference recently. It was a pastor's conference. It's great. I go every year, and it's pastors of kind of our size church that get together, and our wives come, and it's really great. And they just love on us and care for us, and we hear speakers, and we talk shop around the tables, and it's just really, really refreshing. I bet out of 21 years of me being here, I bet we've been to 19 of these. So we know the people. We enjoy the people. It's about 70 pastors and then 70 wives. So it's a smaller group, about 150 of us that come together. And they always have the best swag bags you can ever imagine. I mean, it's awesome. They give us all sorts of stuff to just say, we want you to be encouraged. We want you to be encouraged. We want you to be encouraged. Kelly and I actually hosted it one year. So our church, we got to be a part of it and hosted all these folks. So I got my swag bag, this box here, and it was sunglasses, which is great to get. I was excited about getting sunglasses. That was a lot of fun. So I got these sunglasses here. I got my little bag, got my glasses, which was wonderful. The only thing would have been better is if they would have got me prescription sunglasses for these eyes. But so I got these sunglasses, cool sunglasses. It was great. But I want to show you this as I was thinking about the book of Ruth. I've been looking at this box for a while thinking someplace this has got to be able to go in here. The bottom of the box has this little logo and it says 100% happiness guaranteed. That's cute, right? For sunglasses, 100% happiness. You're going to go to the beach, you can go to the pool, you can be out bright, 100% happiness guaranteed. Let me tell you what, there's no 100% happiness guaranteed in life. There's none. Elimelech thought, I know how to guarantee happiness. We'll turn our back on God and we'll go to the place where there's short-term gain for long-term loss. And I'm just telling us as loud and clear as I can, there's nothing in the world that will give you 100% happiness guaranteed. Walking with God can give you joy, but you won't be happy at every time. We're going to see some pain coming up here in just a second. So I just want us to know before we get to the pain that there is no 100% guarantee of happiness. Everyone has pain in their life. Walking with God, you can still walk in some great pain. So I don't want to set up that the disobedient, they're the only ones that have pain. All of us have pain. All of us have struggle. But I do want us to say when we walk away from God, we cause more problems than it's worth, right? So we want to walk in obedience to the Lord and trust him and walk in those ways. So let's look now at verse 3-6, and then I'm going to jump to 19-21, okay? And this is talking about Naomi in particular. And I want you to see the both sections of Naomi, 3-6, then we're gonna jump through 19-21. Here we go, look in your Bible. All right, there we go. Naomi's husband, Elimelech, died, and she was left with her two sons. And her sons took Moabite women, remember about the Moabites? As their wives, they shouldn't have done that, but God's gonna redeem it. One was named Orpah, and the second was named Ruth. After they had lived in Moab about 10 years, both Mahlon, his name means sickly, by the way, or puny, how'd you like to name that? And Chilion, which means wasting away, also died. And the woman was left, I want you to feel this, without her two children and without her husband. Now jump to verse 19. The two of them, we're going to see that's Ruth and Naomi in just a minute. When they entered Bethlehem, the whole town was excited about their arriving. Can this be Naomi? The local women exclaimed. Don't call me Naomi, which Naomi means sweet, be like sweetie pie. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. She answered, for the Almighty has made me bitter. Mara means bitter. I went away full but the Lord brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has opposed me and the Almighty has afflicted me? Do you see she's blaming God there? Here's what I want you to hear. The pain of life is real and can be really painful. The pain of life is real and it can be really painful. Think of this lady. She's in a foreign land of Moab. Her husband is dead. Both her sons have died. She has no food. She left because of a famine. No rights in that society. It's in the time of judges where there's no morality and there's no leadership. And yet here she comes. She's going to come back and we're going to see God take care of her because the Lord will provide. And we're going to see that in an amazing, amazing way. God's people are not exempt from suffering. Do you know that 2/3 of the Psalms in your Bible are laments? 2/3 are laments. They're cries. They're weeping. They're songs of pain. Now, typically, a psalm will start with a lot of pain and then will end, but the Lord is great. That's typically how they go. So here we have 2/3 of psalms are painful. Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflicted of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. Meaning there's going to be lots of things that happen in our life, but the Lord's going to provide. God's going to take our misery and he's going to make it our ministry. God's going to take our pain and he's going to bring joy out of it. God's going to take our loss and he's going to restore it in ways. God's going to give us things that we lost, but things that he gives us as well. Now, does that ever make that loss go away? No, it doesn't. Does it ever even make it worth it? Probably not. But can God meet you right there? And Naomi goes a different direction. She goes in bitterness. She says, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. And she goes in bitterness. I want you to know, and I want us to feel this pain, because if we're going to get this story, we've got to feel this pain of Naomi and see God provide for her in the next couple weeks. She loses her husband and she loses 2 children. I want us to do something together to just think about this for a second, to absorb this for a second. Just a moment. I'm going to ask you if you have lost someone dear and you know grief. You know grief. You've wept. You've gone through the dark night of the soul. You've wondered where God is, your husband, your child, a brother, a sister, someone inner circle, your best bud, whatever it is. Just a minute, I want to ask you at all campuses, Siena, Cypress, downtown, Digital Family, even at home. In a minute, I'm going to call you to just raise your hand. And I want you to see that as 2 things. I want you to see that as 1, I know this pain. And I want you to see how many people know this pain around the church. And then 2, to kind of just say in honor of them, their legacy lives. They're here. We honor them today is what I mean by that. Okay? So if you've been through the grief, you know what I'm talking about. When I talk about Naomi and I talk about her being a widow, you go, got it. Widower, got it. Parent of loss, got it. Someone of pain, got it. Feeling the sweetness turn to bitterness. God has brought me out full and he's brought me back empty. If that's a touch that you have in your heart, I just want you, in honor of the continued legacy of the person you love, I just want you to raise your hand right where you are. You see that, church? Just about everybody. Just about everybody. You put your hand down. God is going to provide for Naomi and Ruth in a way that ministers, listen, to the soul. I'm not talking about you lose some money in the stock market and it goes back up. To the soul. I'm not talking about your dishwasher breaks and the repairman's real nice and God provides. I'm talking about to the soul that God knows. And the only thing you and I can do in those moments is say, God, I just want to be faithful. I just want to be faithful, God. I'm going to be humble, and I just want to be faithful, and I'm going to trust you, God, that you are faithful. Life's pain is real and can be really, really painful. Now watch God come to the rescue in this. We're going to see it through the rest of the book, but in this one chapter, I want you to look back in verse 6 is where we're going to start. And I'm going to read you a long section here. This is one of our big chunks. Verse 6, and I'm going to read you how Naomi begins to receive the love of Ruth. Now, Ruth is an amazing lady. We're going to see Orpah is going to leave. Okay, now here's a little cultural interesting. Oprah Winfrey's name is actually Orpah Winfrey. But no one could spell it right when she was growing up, and they began to call her Oprah. Isn't that interesting? But her name was actually Orpah. Verse 6, then she and her daughters-in-law set out to return to from the territory of Moab. So they're headed back to the people of God, to the place of God, because she had heard in Moab that the Lord had paid attention to his people's need by providing them food. How did she even hear about that? No internet, but God got the word to her. Verse 7, she left the place where she had been living, accompanied by her two daughters-in-law, and traveled along the road leading back to the land of Judah. She's going the right direction again. Naomi said to them, each of you, go back to your mother's home. Interesting, doesn't say her father's home, says your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to the dead and to me. May the Lord grant each of you rest in the house of a new husband. She kissed them and wept loudly. And she said, they said, we insist on returning with you to your people. But Naomi replied, return home, my daughters, go home. Why do you want to go with me? Am I able to have more sons that you could have become husbands? Return home, my daughters, go on, for I'm too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me to have another husband tonight and to bear sons, would you be willing to wait for them to grow up? Would you restrain yourselves from remarrying? If she got married today and had sons tomorrow, it's too late. No, my daughters, my life is much too bitter for you to share. You see her starting to slide into bitterness? Because the Lord's hand has turned against me. Again, they wept loudly, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clung to her. It's the same word we get in Genesis when we talk about marriage, that you leave and you cleave, clung to her. Naomi said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Orpah goes back to the false gods in Moab. Follow your sister-in-law. But Ruth replied, you've heard this in weddings, don't plead with me to abandon you or to return or not follow you. For where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your people will be my people. Here it comes. This is the mic drop moment. Underline it in your Bible. And your God will be my God. Ruth becomes a believer in the one true God. She leaves the false gods of Moab, and she becomes a believer in the one true God of Israel. Where you die, this is a commitment, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord, she's honoring God now, may punish me and do it ever so severely if anything but death separates you and me. And when Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped talking to her, trying to talk her out of it. Here's what we need. We need the right people to walk with us. We need the right people to walk with us. What do we do in the midst of our pain? We get the right people to walk with us. 100% happiness is not guaranteed in this life. We need the right people to walk with us. Two are better than one. If either of them falls, the other one will lift up his companion, Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. See, this is a covenant love, not just a contractual love. This is a love that says, I'm with you till death do us part. That's why this pops up into marriage ceremonies a lot. And to be able to see this clinging to, now think of what Naomi or what Ruth is going to sacrifice. She's going to leave her own land and her own family. She's going to live a life, she's planning on living a life of widowhood and childless for the rest of her life. She's going to an unknown land with a new people, with new customs and a new language. And she's a Moabite. Notice how many times in the book of Ruth, it says, Ruth, the Moabite. That's like saying, Ruth, the enemy of God. She's going to go into Israel with that. And she makes a commitment and says, if I die where you die, I'll die. In other words, I'm never going home. I'm going with you. And she clings and the right people. And we're going to see Ruth in this story in the next 3 weeks. We're going to see Ruth bless Naomi in an amazing way. Naomi right now, because of her pain, can't see any of the good that's around her, can't see any of the love that's around her. And she's blaming God for it. And God's giving her, he's providing for her, Ruth. Orpah's going to go on, Ruth's going to stay, and they're going to journey together and they're going to walk together. And Ruth is going to be a caring, loving person to her mother-in-law. She's going to be faithful as violence. Faithful as violence. And it's all because of that core in 1:16, and your God will be my God. One pastor put it like this, God's ideal woman, faith in God that sees beyond the bitter setbacks, freedom from the securities and comforts of the world, courage to venture into an unknown and strange place, a radical commitment in the relationships that God appoints. Don't forget, Ruth is also a widow. It's not like Ruth's got it great. And now they come together and these two ladies come together. And guys, gals, I hear it all the time. I don't know how I would make it through this without the church. I hear that at almost every funeral. We have about 150 funerals a year in all of our campuses. Now, don't let that scare you. We have a lot of healthy people too. It's okay. But there's a lot of grief. And you saw the hands raise. And there's a lot of pain. And I hear people over and over say, I don't know how I'd make it without the church. And they don't mean a service, and they don't mean a building, and they don't mean a cross out front, and they don't mean this, that, and the other. They're talking about the people of the church coming around them. How are we going to make it without the church? Toby Mack, Christian artist, his son was lost, died tragically. He wrote this song called Little Church Right Now. He says, my cup is about as empty as the wilderness I'm in. I lost my way with the loss of love, grief, that came to a bitter end. So far from running over, his cup running over, I'm so close to giving in. It's going to take the hands that made me to make me whole again. Here's the chorus. I could use a little church right now. I'd love to have a little family around. I've been feeling so overwhelmed. I could use a little church right now. I can almost hear the choir singing back to when I was a child believing that nobody's too lost to get found. I could use a little church right now. And I'm telling you, and students, I want you to listen to me loud and clear, particularly students. You get the right people around you. Don't run with the wrong crew. You get the right people around you. When you got the right people around you, they will love you through the greatest tragedies of your life. They'll love you through the hardest times. They will not turn their back on you. You will find Ruths next to you, Naomi. And they will love you with everything they had. Ruth's commitment to Naomi was based in her new commitment to God. You see it in verse 16? Wasn't just Ruth's a nice person. She trusted in God, and that made a huge difference. When we can disconnect from the people of God, we are really close to disconnecting from the purpose of God. And we've got to stay close to the people of God. And so if our church is a new church to you, I just want you to know that we're not a perfect church, but we want to be a loving church, and you're a part of that. You've got to love people well as they love you well as well. And so God doing their work, and they weren't just leaving Moab, they were going to something in Israel. You see it? And there they're going to find these ladies, actually, we just read it, come around them. And here's what they say. They say, you know, Naomi, could this be Naomi? And she says, call me bitter. Call me bitter. Now, let me show you the last thing and we're done. Here's your point. Cling to the Lord. God is providing whether you see it or not. Cling to the Lord. God is providing whether you see it or not. Look at verse 22. So Naomi came back from the territory of Moab. Can we just all go, oh, praise God, right? I mean, that's a huge statement right there. That's a repentance statement. That's a declaration statement. That's a teaching moment for you and me. If you've gone to Moab, come home. Come home from Moab. There's food in the church, spiritual food. There's food in the kingdom of God. There's food in the person of Christ. He is the living bread. Bethlehem is the house of bread is what that means. Come back to Bethlehem, if you will. You get the nativity scene, what I'm trying to do there? Come out of Moab and come back to Bethlehem. Watch what happens in Bethlehem. So Naomi came back from the territory of Moab with her daughter-in-law, Ruth, but they still call her the Moabitess. They arrived in Bethlehem, watch the timing of God, at the beginning of the barley harvest. Do you see what happened there? They leave Moab. Remember, her husband, God is my king, was his name, but God wasn't his king, took his family in the wrong direction. Oh, men, don't lead your family in the wrong direction. And takes them to Moab because there's no food here, but there's food here. Short term, so a famine becomes three funerals. And then now they come back. And when she walks into Bethlehem, it's at the beginning of the barley harvest. And we're going to see, particularly in the next 2 weeks, this harvest coming in with a guy named Boaz. And God's going to provide. I want you to say it with me one more time. We're going to say, the Lord will provide. Ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. The Lord will provide. One more time. The Lord will provide. So what do you and I have to do? We have to get out of Moab and come to Israel. And to come into the people of God, for the kingdom of God, for the purposes of God, for the plan of God, so that God can provide for us in our pain. So that the bitterness does not take root. And we can come with a sweetness of letting God have his way. God is going to bring about a greater good in the life of Ruth and Naomi and all of creation everywhere. He's going to bring them back to Bethlehem, the house of bread. And then from Bethlehem, generation, 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 way down the way, you're going to see in Matthew, the name Ruth is going to be a part of the lineage of Jesus Christ, who is the living bread, born in Bethlehem from the line of David, who Ruth is the great grandmother of David. And she just came back from Moab as a foreigner, the only Gentile name in your Old Testament, to arrive at the exact moment of the barley harvest. You tell me God's not involved in that? That's amazing. Let's cheer for that at all campuses. Come on. God can do his work. He is always working out his redemptive plan. So if you're bitter today, I just call you to Jesus. If you're hurting today, I call you to Jesus. There is no place on planet Earth that happiness is 100% guaranteed. We're all going to have to turn to God and let him meet us where we are, and meet us where he is. Let me give you a crazy closing story. A lady named Joan Murray was an American skydiver, and she jumped out of an airplane at 14,500 feet over North Carolina. Let me show you a picture of this lady, Joan. This was back in the late 90s. So sweet lady jumping out of a plane. I don't think that was taken at the moment she was jumping out of a plane. I think that was staged, but we get the picture, right? And her main parachute did not open. I've been skydiving once. Okay, that's all you need, right? And it was awesome. But I'm not doing it again. And I'm not promoting you doing it. Okay. Her chute didn't open, so she pulled a reserve chute. Her reserve chute didn't open. She goes and hits the ground at 80 miles an hour. She hits the ground. She lands in a mound of fire ants. And she then is stung over 200 times by fire ants. Would you be saying, my name is Naomi, make me Mara at this point? I mean, Lord, my first chute didn't open. Lord, my reserve chute didn't open. Lord, I could have landed in a pool, you know, or a lake. I land in a mound of fire ants, and she is stung 200 times. But the doctors believe the intense pain and venom-induced adrenaline surge kept her heart beating and she survived because she landed in fire ants. And when Naomi's husband dies, I'm sure it felt like the first shoot. God, how could this not open? Then when her first son dies, the reserve shoot. Then the second son dies. God, I'm laying in fire ants falling from the sky. And God's saying, but I got you. Every one of those stings is going to keep your heart beating. And I'm going to give you a new heart for Ruth and Christ. And that's going to be the life that you are able to now stand up. And she survived, this lady survived this because of the fire ants. Crazy story. I'm bringing you a crazy story as well with Ruth. And I'm telling you, the Lord will provide. You will find him faithful. We just need to be humble. And as we're humble and as we're faithful, we'll find him faithful. That, my friend, is just chapter one. Wait till chapter 2, 3, and 4 of the book of Ruth. Read it this week. Read the book of Ruth this week so you'll be ahead. And watch the faithfulness of God. Father, we come in Jesus' name, Lord. We know pain. We raised our hands, Lord. We've wept. We've cried, Lord. We've attended the memorial services. Father, I've preached them. And we just come, God, saying we want to walk with you. We want to trust you. Dear Jesus, for those that are living in Moab right now, would you just call them home and would they turn and realize that my God is king. You are the king. You have food they know not of. Their food is to do the will of God. So I pray, God, for people in the sound of my voice, in our church, that they know in their hearts they've walked into Moab and they found a way to live. They come home. Father, for those, and it's so easy to start saying, call me Mara. Look at what God has done to me. Father, that we wouldn't be bitter towards you, God. As C.S. Lewis says, we know these things happen. It's just really different when they happen to us. Uproot the root of bitterness, Father, in our hearts. Help us, God, with that pain. Let us see your provision. And lastly, Father, for those that need to say, your God is my God, and come to know Jesus as Savior, the trust in the one true God, in salvation through Christ, may today be that day. So we pray for these things, God. We ask you for them. Thank you for our church. Let us be the people of God to care for people well. This is serious business. And we lift that up to you, God. Show us more in the book of Ruth in the coming weeks. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me as we worship through song? This is your moment. If you've been in Moab, there are people who love you standing around this church, the front, the cross aisle, the balcony. They love you. Just come and say, I've been in Moab. They'll know what you mean, and you just give your heart back to the Lord. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, oh, why not? Why not? Why? You just heard this. How could you say no to something so faithful and so good? You come. Come. You're looking for a church home. We're not perfect, but we're trying our best to be Ruth's to Naomi's, to be friends to Ruth. You come. Come to something, not just from pain, but to joy, to this church. Father, we love you.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.